The book of Daniel, we're studying verse by verse through the book of Daniel, and in chapter 7, we've really got bogged down because of the amount of information that's given. We've said right from the very beginning that the first six chapters of Daniel, since it was God teaching the Gentiles, it was pretty much easy and real, easy to understand, real easy to preach. It was more story form. We come to Daniel chapter 7, and Daniel has a vision. And there's less interpretation given to us, so we have to do a lot of searching to find out what these symbolisms are that Daniel saw in his dream. And it's yet the capstone of everything that was said in the first six chapters of Daniel. God's final message to the Gentiles that Jesus Christ will come back and will rule, and the powers of the Gentiles shall be destroyed. Daniel has a dream in this chapter. And in it he sees in verse 3, four beasts, four great beasts, came up from the sea, diverse one from another. In verse 4 it says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Verse 5 says, behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. Verse 6 says, after this, behold, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl. And then finally in verse 7, where we concluded last week, after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Shall we pray? God our Father, we need your help in turning to this passage of Scripture to have any understanding of what it's about. And as we gain understanding, may we put our faith in the message that you have for us, and may we see the invisible things and the future things that you have declared here in this passage of Scripture, that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be glorified in our hearts as we get to know him better and to know his plan and purpose throughout the times and the ages. It's in Christ the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Daniel's dream relates exactly to the dream that Daniel had in chapter 2, that Nebuchadnezzar had in chapter 2 of a great image. And that great image had four metals that it was made out of, and that's the color tone here. The head of gold, the arms and belly, the arms and breasts were silver, the belly was brass, the legs were iron, and the feet were iron and clay. And, you know, there's four metals there, but we saw that in that fourth metal, it went from iron legs to feet and toes that were iron and clay. Daniel has a vision, and his vision, he sees beasts rising up. Not a glorious man, but demonic beasts rising up. We know from Nebuchadnezzar's image that it represented the Gentile powers that began with Babylon and will end with a future Antichrist kingdom, that Jesus Christ, the rock cut out of the mountain, comes and destroys the final Gentile powers and sets up his kingdom over the whole earth. Daniel, in his vision, sees beasts. He sees a lion, which corresponds to Babylon, as we have studied it so far. The bear that corresponds to the Medo-Persian Empire. He sees a leopard that represents the Grecian Empire, and then he sees what he calls the fourth beast, dreadful. And what we described last week, we're able to use Scripture to actually see. Daniel sees something that he doesn't even try to say it's like anything. We put down there that it's a dragon, because that's what Satan is called in the Bible. He's called the dragon. But what Daniel sees is he sees a monster. And we went back into the book of Job and saw that there was, in prehistoric times, prehistoric not being millions of years ago, but thousands of years ago, according to Scripture, that back in some 7,000 years ago, there were big beasts that lived on the earth. There were brontosauruses and brachiosauruses, and there were the duck-billed dinosaurs who lived in the water, and it is possible, and the Bible does confirm, that some of these animals that lived in the sea could actually breathe fire. And we've done a lot of talking about that ever since then, about even insects that can light up and glow today, and whether it's a gas or whether it's a fire, that it is possible that it happens, because it happens today in some of the creatures that are still here that God created. And what Daniel is seeing is someone that was called in the book of Job chapter 41, Leviathan. would call a dragon, but he's a sea monster. He lived in the sea. And you know, that Leviathan is just not an ancient creature who lived. It was that, definitely. But he's a picture in the Bible of the Antichrist coming in the future, who's going to be indwelt by Satan. Come with me, and we didn't have time to get this passage of Scripture in, to the book of Isaiah. Because this fourth beast, I wanted you to see what it is as Daniel sees it. He sees the monster, he sees the beast, but what does it represent? Well, it represents that Antichrist kingdom. And we see it clearly as we compare Leviathan from Job chapter 41 to what Isaiah sees in chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27. What I'd like you to back up, at least so I can show you the time period. Look at chapter 24 of Isaiah before I read chapter 27, verse 1. Isaiah 24 and verse 19. Now notice the time period that it's talking about. It says, "The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is removed, is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, that the transgressors thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. And the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before the ancients gloriously." You know, when you see that, what you're talking about is the second coming of Jesus Christ. You read in the book of Revelation of all kinds of earthquakes that take place before His coming, and the last final one, the earth is going to reel to and fro as the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to reign. And when He comes back to reign, not only does He reign in Mount Zion, He reigns in Jerusalem, and before the ancients glorious. There's going to be a resurrection at the time He comes back. But there's a judgment that precedes His coming, as you see the earth moving and quaking, and the kings of the earth being in fear, and then finally gathered in prison and put in a pit, and held for a future time of judgment. All that is descriptive of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when you start talking about that, this passage in Isaiah is talking about the second coming of Christ, and the subject continues. When you come to chapter 27, He's still on that same subject, and it begins in chapter 27, verse 1, "In that day," talking about the day of Christ's return, "in that day the Lord with His sore and great strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, the crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." And so my point to you is to show you, as Daniel had a vision, the last thing that he saw was some hideous monster called dreadful and exceeding strong and teeth of iron. As Daniel describes this great beast that he saw, what he's seeing is what Job saw in his day, named Leviathan, which is descriptive. It's a picture of what, when Jesus Christ comes back and destroys Satan and the satanic governmental system that's going to be on this world, the Antichrist, as when Jesus Christ comes back and does that, Isaiah prophetically says he's going to destroy Leviathan. And so we see exactly what Daniel is seeing in that fourth beast. Now my point to you is to know there's four: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. But just as we saw in the image, it went from iron legs to feet and toes that were iron and clay. It's still iron. It's still Rome, only now it looks a little different. Something happens in the Roman government that it no longer appears as iron legs, but appears as feet of iron and clay. A divided kingdom, 10 toes in that kingdom. And as Daniel sees the four beasts, he sees a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a dragon. He don't see a fifth. He just sees a dragon, and it's a dreadful dragon. But what's the last thing he says about that dreadful dragon? Go back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. In verse 7, And after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. That is, it took control, it took power. The fourth beast is in power. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So just as we see the beast come and take the kingdom, eventually as Daniel looks on and it devours as a lion and it breaks as a bear and it stamps the residue as a leopard overruns its prey, then finally the dragon rules, and then as the dragon rules, Daniel says, and behold, it's diverse, it has 10 horns, just like the feet that has 10 toes. And when you come to this fourth empire, there's never a fifth empire. The fifth empire that's going to rule in the future is going to be from Rome, but it's going to be different than Rome. It's going to be more diverse than Rome, but it's still part of that fourth kingdom. And we see that here. He only sees four. And my point to you, there is no doubt that Rome goes from ancient Rome to future Rome. We live in the day that's an interruption of prophecy, and that's where grace is written in at the ankles there. That we live in a time that where God interrupted what was going on with the nation of Israel and started a whole new age called the dispensation of the grace of God. He's dispensing grace today to Jew and Gentile alike. Prophecy has not been fulfilled. It's been postponed to the future. And in the future, there will be another ancient, there'll be another Roman Empire, but it won't be like the ancient one. It'll be diverse. It'll be divided into 10 separate powers that will rule together, probably in the Roman area. My point to you is the stress seems to be put on that fourth power. It's a warning of that fourth power is demonic. And I would say to you that you be careful of anything that comes out of Rome. Now, I know that offends some people, and especially if you think about a religion that comes out of Rome or politics that come out of Rome. But, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job as a minister if I would see how clearly Rome is identified as being part or being identified as the last empire. It's going to be different than it was in ancient days, but it is going to involve Rome, no doubt about it. And if it wasn't so clear in Scripture, then I wouldn't say that. And if since it is so clear in Scripture, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't tell you, even if it offends you, be careful of anything that comes out of Rome, because what the Bible identifies as coming out of Rome is the dragon, it's the devil. It's the Antichrist. And whether it comes from the city itself or not, but from that ancient power, it's definitely demonic. And I would warn you from Scripture, be careful what comes out of Rome. But verse 8, as we continue our study today, says, "And I considered the horn, and behold," excuse me, "I considered the horns," there's 10 of them, "and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." As Daniel continues to look, and he sees this fourth image, he sees the dragon, then he sees 10 horns in the dragon, then he sees another little horn. It's a progression of revelation in time. He first sees the dragon, then he sees the 10 horns, then he sees a little horn that emerges diverse from the 10, but when it emerges, it takes 3 of the horns, it plucks up 3 of the horns, and takes over them. When it plucks up 3 of the horns, what you end up with is you're going to see, in fact, I'll show it to you, look over in verse 23 of the same chapter, what these horns and all represent. Verse 23 says, Thus he saith, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms." And when we talk about kingdoms here, remember we're talking about world empires that take over the whole earth. And shall devour the whole earth, and shall break it down and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. That shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So my point to you is, as we look at what Daniel sees, he sees the 10 horns, and then he sees after the 10 horns, another little horn that rises up. And those 10 horns that he sees, the Bible interprets for us, they're one, it's one kingdom, with 10 ruling together in this united empire. This empire has 10 kings, and all of a sudden these 10 kings are together, as many prophesy and try to predict today, to watch the European common market, and could their agreement unify and become the United States of Europe and be this fulfillment? Maybe, I don't know. But it is an interesting point that there are nations, now numbering 11, I believe, around the old ancient Roman Empire, around the Mediterranean Sea, that want to economically get together and unify so that they might become an economic power in the world. But 10 nations are, whether it's them or not, are going to get together and be unified into one empire. And then within those 10, there's going to rise up, diverse from those 10, there's going to rise up another little horn. And that little horn is going to conquer 3, remove 3 of those kings. But remember, there's 10 kingdoms. The kingdoms represent 10 nations, and there's 10 kings. But the little horn is going to take over 3 of them, so you're going to have one man ruling 3 nations, and then he's going to be involved in those 10. So you're going to have 7 heads, once he takes over 3, ruling 10 different nations. And that's what's going to emerge as Daniel sees it happening. And when this little horn rises up and conquers the 3, and there becomes 7 heads of 10 nations, then it says that verse 8, behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. In other words, this little horn, when you look at him, you know, the gate to the soul is your eyes. You look at a man, you look in his eyes. And he looks at this horn, and when he looks in his eyes, man, this guy's a man. But the what he speaks, he don't speak like a man. He speaks great things. If I could ad lib a little bit, he speaks high things. He don't talk like a man. He looks like a man, but don't talk like a man. In this, watch the Bible fall together for us. Come over with me to Revelation chapter 13. And again, I'll point out a verse before that. Go back to chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, it says in verse 7, and this takes place in the middle of a 7-year tribulation that's future to our day. That we verified at other times. You just have to continue to study with us to show, and we'll see it again in chapter 9, how it has to be future to our time. Revelation chapter 12 in verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. A lot of people think the devil's in hell, and he's down in the heart of the earth with a pitchfork and flames of fire today, and that when you go to hell, he's there jabbing you. But that's not what the Bible teaches at all. Satan is an angel that was created and fell in his pride, thinking that he would exalt himself above the thrones of God, the stars of God. He would be like the Most High. He wanted to be God. And he lost his position as a holy angel and became a demonic angel. He is not cast out of heaven, out of the second heavens, until the middle of tribulation. When he's cast out, notice he's called the dragon being cast out of heaven. Once he's cast out of heaven, as you read on, it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Why? Because that's where the devil is. When he gets cast out of heaven, he's going to walk on the earth. But now he's a spirit being. And so in order to have any impact on the earth, the devil, who's a spirit being, is going to indwell somebody on this earth. And what he's going to do, he's going to indwell a political person. And he's going to become the power behind a political genius that's in this earth. And that's what we pick up with in chapter 13. The devil's on the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. When we come to chapter 13, look at the description and see if it doesn't match what Daniel's seeing in Daniel chapter 7. Revelation 13 verse 1 says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 Remember this little horn plucked up three? So there's 10 horns, but there's only 7 heads. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Look down in verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to have to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given unto him, over all kindreds and tongues and nations. See, this man is going to become great power. The power that he has is going to, because of the dragon, is going to be in him. Satan is going to be indwelling that man. And you're going to look in his eyes and he's going to look like a man. But he's going to speak blasphemous words against God. He's going to attack the believers of God, the nation of Israel, the remnant believers, and prevail against them. And he's going to have dominion over all the earth. He's that little horn. Did you see how it's described as a beast coming out of the sea? Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. And then that final beast, as he rises up, how does Revelation describe him? It describes him as a leopard and as a bear and as a lion. You know, it's interesting to me, the reverse order. He looks, in the book of Revelation, John looks and sees the last beast as being a conglomerate of the leopard, the bear, and the lion. Daniel, on the other hand, when he looks, he sees the beast rising up. He sees a lion, a bear, a leopard, and then the final dragon. You know what the difference is? Where you stand in time. Daniel, out in prophecy, he's being showed the future. What's going to happen? And the order of future was Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and then finally Rome, that's going to become the Antichrist kingdom in the future. Daniel looks down, and this is the order in time that it's going to happen. John is brought by the angel out into the day of the Lord, into a future period of time, and when he sees the dragon come and indwell the political man, he begins to look at that and he sees it backwards. He looks back in time and he sees the dragon being like the leopard, like the bear, like the lion. And you just see two different points of view based on where they are in time, but they see the same thing, don't they? Isn't it amazing how your Bible fits together like a glove? I mean, to look at these verses of Scripture, last week we spent time to look in Job and see what he said about the monsters who lived on the earth prior, which scientists today think that Christians don't believe in these things, and it's the Bible that revealed them all the time. That, you know, you look at the Bible, it tells you about the past, it tells you about the future, it tells you about it from Daniel's point of view looking forward, it tells you from John's point of view who's brought out into the future and looks back into the past, and all of it fitting together, real fine detail, every word of it. And it's amazing that we can study, and people I know that they think the whole Bible is written in symbolic ways. It's not. Prophecy is, because God's got to describe to us things that are yet to be, and he's got to use words like in order to get us to understand it. And so these prophecies are hard to understand. But you know what we've learned? You can understand them, can't you? You can take the Bible itself and let some cross-references like this tell you what you're seeing, and give you the answer of what you're seeing so that you can be sure that the monster that Daniel saw is the dragon who's the Antichrist, Satan indwelling a man who at the end of time it's going to be a seven-headed system that's going to be in charge of 10 different nations which rule over the whole earth. It's the little horn that's going to be in control of it all. All of it's going to be under his control. One man who's going to control the seven heads of the 10 nations. Now that's what's coming in the future, and we can see that. We can see it very clearly, I believe, and it just takes a little bit of time and a little bit of effort. But you know, if I can prove to you that you can understand these things by showing you these cross-references, then doesn't that put some responsibility and accountability on you? To rather than say, oh, I can't understand the Bible, oh, well, Tom can understand it, I can understand it. If I can just sit down and spend the time to find the verses, then I can understand. And then if I can understand, then I am responsible to God to understand, to spend some time in the Bible to understand these things. And not only am I responsible to understand, but I'm also a care, am I not? to know some things about what God says and about some systems that are in the world and some systems that are going to materialize in the future. These things that God reveals to us, not just to build our ego and to build our intelligence, but it's so that it might work in our hearts that we might warn other people about things to come and about the salvation that's still available, because this is still the age of grace for those who will put their faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. You need to put your faith there. Let me show you why. Come back with me. Well, put a piece of paper here in the book of Revelation. You're going to have to come back there. And go back to Daniel and look at what else Daniel sees. Go back to Daniel chapter 7. He saw this little horn rise up, take over three, rule and speak. He looked like a man and speak great things. Verse 9 of Daniel chapter 7 says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. You know, I read that verse right there and I tell myself, boy, am I glad that Daniel's dream didn't end in verse 7 or verse 8. That Daniel's dream continued. Because had it ended in verse 8, there's nothing but despair for the future. But verse 9, he goes on to say, and I beheld till. See, time progressed on. Daniel, in his vision, kept watching, and some things changed. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Those seven thrones, the Antichrist system, was cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. And his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. Daniel said, you know, I saw this great, horrible monster take total control of the earth. Looked like a man spoke blasphemous things against the God of heaven, but I kept watching. And the Ancient of Days came, and all of a sudden there's a thousand thousands ministering unto him. That's a million. But there's 10,000 times 10,000 that are standing before him. That's 10 million. There's a million ministering unto him, 10,000 standing before him, and the judgment was set. And the books are open. And then all of a sudden he turned to that little horn, and because of all the words, the blasphemous words that that little horn spake, God just took that little horn, the Ancient of Days took that little horn and gave his body to be burned by the flames. And Daniel watched all that blasphemy get burned up and get destroyed. I'm glad Daniel kept his vision went on. God's going to have his way on this earth. But there's going to be a judgment that's set. And you know, you go through that description. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool. Do you ever wonder what God looks like? Hair, pure wool. And that's speaking about the whiteness, purity of the wool. The hair of his head is pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. You know, as we are given some kind of a description about God coming to judge, that we're getting an image of purity, of white. But then as you move down the body, all of a sudden there's flames. Flames proceeding out, wheels of fire around about him, throne of fire. You know, as you stand before God and you look up, at the top of him is radiant beauty, holiness. But to get to that holiness, you got to go through those flames of fire. Then us being down here underneath that fire, that paints a bleak picture. Because God, who is holy, protects that holiness with some flames of fire. And that Antichrist that was down here blaspheming him, his body was given to the flames. And you know, it's a scary thing to think that the judgment was set and the books are opened up. You know, come back with me now to the book of Revelation. All this is described in the book of Revelation. Description, go to chapter 1. And I say this to you, that in the book of Daniel, there's two Ancient of Days. And when we go back there, I'll show it to you. And what Daniel sees in this first Ancient of Days coming is the Lord Jesus Christ. But back here in Revelation chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ appears to John. And when he appears to John, John sees him. And it starts in chapter 1, verse 12. It says, I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. That's the term of the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes to rule over the earth. One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white as wool, as white as snow. And the eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had on his right hand seven stars. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys, there's those keys, of hell and death. Hell being the place that the souls are kept until resurrection. Death being the grave where the body is kept until resurrection. Jesus Christ has the key to both. As John saw the same image, the hair white and the flames of fire all around him, as John saw the same thing that Daniel saw, John, as if it took life right out of him, just fell down as if he was dead. You know why? What would you do standing before such greatness and holiness and you being a sinner? We are all a sinner. There's no way that we could ever stand before holiness this way. No way that any of us would have a right to stand before God and say, Oh God, it's good to meet you. My name's Tom. It wouldn't happen that way. We saw those flames of fire where he hates sin and has to judge sin. And then we see his holiness. We'd see how short we come. We must just fall down and die and say, Give my body to the flames. There's no hope for me. But Jesus Christ reaches down with his right hand and says, John, don't worry about it. I'm the first and the last. I'm he that was alive, was dead, but am alive forevermore. I'm the one who came to earth to die on the cross for your sins that you might be saved. John, stand up. You don't have to worry about death. You don't have to worry about my burning flames. There's a word. The sharp two-edged sword goes out. And the reason it's two edges, it cuts two ways. Either you hear the things that the Bible says about Jesus Christ and about your sinfulness and your hope in Him, the fact that He died on the cross for your sins, those words hit your heart, and because it's got two edges, it'll cut two ways. Either it will cause you to be convicted of your sins and realize you need a Savior and your only hope is Jesus Christ, or it'll cause you to say, this is a bunch of hogwash, I don't need Jesus Christ, and you'll harden your heart against God and you'll find out it's real someday. But when you hear the Word of God, it cuts your heart and it divides between truth and error. It divides between the intent of your heart to really honor God and want to believe God, or your choice to dishonor God and not to believe God. It'll make you take a stand because you have to do something. When you hear God's Word proclaimed, you have to do something with what goes in your ears. Either you reject or you accept. And to a person like John, a person like Daniel, who can look at God and see that fire and flame, and then John realize that God, Jesus Christ says, look, I'm the one who died. You don't have to fear. Stand up. And he gives John some revelation of what's going to take place. But what's going to take place in the future, some books are going to be opened up. Come over with me, first of all, to Revelation chapter 19. We've seen Jesus Christ coming. The Antichrist comes in the middle of tribulation, the dragon indwells the political man and becomes the Antichrist, causes the world to worship him as he speaks blasphemy. Jesus Christ eventually comes back to judge. And we've already read about how his judgment is, he's coming back, shaking the earth, burning his enemies up. chapter 19, verse 11, it says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. Well, if you haven't received the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he's going to come back and measure your righteousness. And if you come short, as the Bible says you do, and you don't have Jesus Christ's righteousness given to you upon faith in his blood, then he's coming back to judge in righteousness, and your righteousness is filthy rags in his sight. He doth judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and the name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Either believe the Word of God or you don't. It says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Notice what he's doing. He's coming back, he's smiting the nations, not the nation of Israel. They've already been tried by the nations. Now he's coming back judging the nations, and he shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thighs a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. And that's because when he comes back, he destroys the armies of the nations that were against him. My point to you, Daniel sees this, Nebuchadnezzar saw the image of the man. Daniel sees this, these representations of the Gentile powers. Jesus Christ comes at the end and destroys all these powers, destroys that dragon. Look at Revelation chapter 19 here, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Remember, Daniel says, I watched until that beast, his body was given to the flames. You see it right there. The beast, the man, is taken, his body is thrown to the open flames, Revelation chapter 20. Satan, the dragon who indwelt that man, is taken by the angels and chained into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And so you see that taking place. Jesus Christ destroying the Gentile nations in his second coming, that he might set up a kingdom through the nation of Israel and put his kingdom on this earth. Come over to Revelation chapter 20 in verse 12. It says, And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We come to this passage of Scripture, and although this is after the 1,000 years that Jesus Christ reigns, that those who have not been resurrected unto life are now going to be resurrected to suffer the second death, what I wanted to point out to you is that books are open. There's a book of life, and their names aren't in the book of life. There's books open, which are books of remembrance. That's what Malachi calls it. God has a book of remembrance. He's got a book of remembrance in which he's going to reward his people from, and he's got a book of remembrance upon those who have rejected him and did evil things, and they're going to be judged according to those works. Now, Daniel chapter 7, we can wrap this up. Daniel chapter 7, go back there. It says in verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were open. The judgment that's set here is Jesus Christ, in his second coming, is coming to judge the... That's what's taking place here. You read about it in Matthew chapter 25, that when Jesus Christ comes with his holy angels, it says, and sits on the throne of his glory, he's going to gather all nations before him. And when he does that, it's going to number in the 10,000s, or 10 millions, I mean. There's going to be 10,000 times 10,000. Tens of millions are going to be brought before Jesus Christ, and he's going to judge the nations. That's what's taking place here. And the books are open, and they're going to be judged according to their works, on whether they recognized how he was dealing with the nation of Israel, recognized who he was, or did they work against him? Did they work and side themselves with that Antichrist? And according to that, they're going to be judged. And you know, those works are going to be opened up, and Jesus Christ is the one who's going to sit there and judge, because it says in John chapter 5 and verse 22, all judgment has been given to the Son. This Ancient of Days is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the judgment that he's going to put upon the Gentile nations upon his return, as he's going to save the nation of Israel and set up a kingdom with them. And when he judges those nations, it says the judgment is set. That's a scary time. To stand before the Ancient of Days as he returns and set that judgment up and to stand before him and for him to look in a list of works and judge you according to works. Now that's for a future group of people. But you know, if God would judge us by our works, we'd all be in hell because our works are sinful. We've all done some things wrong. The book of life, the way you get into that today is by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for your sins. And whether it's at the point that you trust Christ that he put your name in, or as some believe and Scripture seems to bear out, that by trusting Jesus Christ, your name never gets removed from the book of life. Either way, by faith in Jesus Christ, your name's in the book of life. You'll never be judged in condemnation for your works. You don't have to worry about that. But Jesus Christ here sets the judgment and sets the throne, and he's going to judge at this time, and boy, things are going to be different. Those who followed the Antichrist, those who put their faith in man, those who believe the blasphemous words and the miracles of the Antichrist are going to be condemned, and they're going to be cast into the flames. What's interesting here is they're judged and sentenced right here. The sentencing takes place 1,000 years after this when they're raised to go into the lake of fire forever. And it is interesting how that happens, but the judgment is set. And if we're going to someday actually have the opportunity of see this God, this Ancient of Days, we need to know about our sins, whether they're taken care of or not. We need to know that we're forgiven, and we can. The Bible says that when Christ died, he died for sinners. He died for sin. He died for the ungodly. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, and God will impute to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you won't have to worry. You'll be like John. Stand up, don't worry about it. And you won't have to worry about the flames of fire for our sins. Let's bow for prayer. God, our Father, we commit your word to the hearts of each person that's here. We study a passage of Scripture that has a lot of symbolism, but it can be figured out by cross-referencing, and what we don't even, some places don't need to cross-reference. We just wait for you to give us the interpretation. And so, Father, we can realize what's awaiting the future of a great lie that's going to come into this world, political and religious, going to deceive many who do not believe this book and the testimony of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that each person here would realize that through his death, burial, and resurrection, they can be saved and not have to fear his wrath. And Father, if there's someone here that's unsaved, we pray that your word would cut to their heart and that they would not decide to reject, but they would make the decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior even this day. Work in each one of our hearts, Lord, to help us to realize what a great privilege it is to know Jesus Christ, to know these truths and realize that we have information that we can use to help our fellow man, that we can open up our mouth and share the gospel of Christ with them, that we can use the sword that Jesus Christ is and that he has that we can your word to help penetrate the heart of unbelievers that we live next door to, that we work around. Help us to use the opportunity of this age of grace to minister for your honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.